Blog Talk Radio.
There you are. For Punch TV host Joy Brown again on another day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Hey, all of you, we are so happy that you join us today. And, of course, if you're wanting to know how to come in on this radio talk show, it is live, and you can talk to our guests, ask questions. Feel free to give us a call at 657-383-1974, and you'll be able to come on the line. I can see you, and if you have a question for our guests, I can pull you in the queue, and there you are. You can ask a question. But guess what? We have a double portion on the line today. I know you've probably been on Facebook, and you're probably able to just click on and see who the guest is. It is no secret. But we have today Dr. Ira Roach III, and we're just going to just welcome him in. And then we have also Lady Anika Stewart on the line with us, and they both are in the present, in the now, right now. So I'm not going to just delay time, because we're going to fit both of these people on this show. And if it's possible, then we're going to have to do something to bring them back on, because I know you're going to be blessed today. Our CEO, Joseph Collins, and our staff, Punch TV Studio, want to say welcome to Punch TV Studio. And again, I'm your host, Joy Brown. Listen, Dr. Ira is an author. He speaks his words for those recovering from hurts, habits, and hangovers. He has been featured as a business transformation workshop expert in Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has most recently joined the Les Brown Maximum Achievement Team. Yay! Dr. Ira is a creator of Life by Design, LLC, and is dedicated to helping people to live a life on their terms. His high-impact Starting Over self-discovery session inspired and empowered numerous adults facing life mini transition. And as a speaker, he has collaborated with top experts such as Daniel Alley. And as a coach, Ira has worked with professionals from every industry around the nation. His goal is to help millions of people to reach their potential and transform their life. You know who this man is, and he is, again, Dr. / Apostle Ira Roach the third. And then we do have Lady Anika Stewart on the line also, and she is a founder and CEO of Embracing Your Inner Women, author, life coach, inspirational speaker, counselor, and faith-based and co-occurring disorder, creator of self-identity apparel, and community activist. She is also the founder of the Every Woman's Conference and Unveiling the Mask Workshop. Anika is known for her bold, direct, confident approach of compelling women to transfer their lives. Women who are transferred through her story are overcoming addictions, domestic violence, separation in marriages, and single parenting. Look, you do not want to miss this talk show, so you need to call somebody and let them know that we are on the Pastors for Punch TV Studio with Apostle Ira Roach III and Lady Anika Stewart, and we're going to bring them on the line. And how are you two doing on today?
Awesome.
Yes, I believe I would have to agree with that. It's been such a long day for me just anticipating just bringing you two on the line just to talk to our audience. The Punch TV studio, actually, one of our objectives is to interview pastors, interview the fivefold ministry, and talk about their life, documenting their story. You know, how did you become to know the Lord, and then how did you find your purpose in life? So what I'm going to do, because I do have both of you on, Dr. Ira Roach, I want you to begin to talk about where you come from. You know, I know where you live in, but tell us a little bit about your beginning, and then both of you know each other. You can kind of like blend in and just kind of just tell us a little bit about your life. And I'm just going to allow you to go ahead and talk about that. Thank you for coming.
Good evening, Joy, and thank you for inviting me to your show.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure. I actually was raised in church. My mother and father was not saved. And at a very early age, about four, my mother and father had a very tumultuous divorce, breakup. My mom had me at the age of 16, so she was just a child herself. And from there, I've seen, you know, some trauma when my father divorced her. And but he did not go to church himself. But both of my grandmothers, my maternal grandmother and my paternal grandmother, were best friends, so they kept me in church. And we had to at least go to Sunday school every week. There was no missing church.
Yeah, I know about that.
And I'm sorry, growing up, I didn't even like church because of the people. A lot of the people in church, from my own perception, my experience, my truth, was that they were kind of, if you didn't fit a certain mold, or if you didn't utilize certain gifts, then you were looked over. You were never looked upon to be the youth leader or the youth, you know, leading anything. So I was kind of like church because of the people. I felt like the people were mean to me, and they weren't really nice. Not my grandmothers, and not everybody, but so I kind of grew up not wanting to serve this God that everybody was talking about, and didn't want to talk on those things that people did, which was tongues. I didn't want to do that. And so as I got older, things tend to have gotten a little worse, because I started noticing that people would give me words, and I was not taught how that sometimes the enemy can use people to give you words to stop your destiny. And so people would give me words, and I knew it was not God a lot of times. But because they were prophets, you know, I was afraid.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh, well, the prophets coming. So I was a young kid, but I knew, because of the spirit of discerning, that these people were just, I won't say jealous, but they did not want me to advance. And so, long story short, I was in church. I was hurt from people. I've had people come, and even as a teenager, they would come and prophesy to me that I was going to die of AIDS and not recover, and that I had a black cloud around me. And some of the other more popular young people were never given, you know, words that were destructive. And so, long story short, I still stayed in church, but I never thought I would ever be a preacher. Never wanted to be one. Never thought anything, but I always had in my heart that I did not want to see people hurt, and that people that did not look the part, or people that did not per se were popular, I always wanted to be encouragement to those people. You know, the ones that they kind of, that David kind of led when they were talking about him going to the cave of Adullam, those people that were broken and misfits. And I always had a passion to help broken people, always had a passion. I didn't know how that I could do it on a scale in church.
Right.
And so as I got older, of course, you know, I had to find my own path from suffering from depression. I didn't realize then I was clinically depressed, but suffering from depression, and I tried suicide a couple of times because I felt like I didn't like me.
Wow.
The one thing that the devil had me thinking was I didn't like me. You know, church made me feel like I didn't like me. Something was wrong with me.
That is
and
terrible,
so I tried
isn't
to suicide.
It?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the good part now. So I finally found my found a space to a ministry. And a woman and mm-hmm. a woman and her husband kind of just groomed me. They loved on me. They loved me back to life. I had a family with the church. We all grew together. And, you know, being submissive and serving. And before I know it, you know, I was prophesying and scaring myself. What is going on? You know, and I always had a strong discerning. I've always could see the devil. I could always see, I didn't understand, but there's nobody taught me, but I could always see people who I called evil. And I would say, I don't like them.
Wow.
I don't like them. And so this woman and her husband taught me about my gifts, and I was maybe 20 years old.
Okay.
I had backslid at the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
I was saved. You know, I was in church, in the youth choir, all of that, but I really, really, really got saved at the age of 19 after I got out of high school. And because I had backslid, then... From that day on, I've been in church. Haven't been perfect, but I've been in church.
I know
since the
we
age
all
of
got
20.
That story.
So these people helped me kind of cultivate my gifts, and
before I knew it,
I grew in the church, and I came up through the ranks. I was a praise and worship leader. I was a youth worker. I was a national youth leader, and that was one of my passions, to see broken kids, you know, helped and bring them to salvation. And from that, I got married at a young. I got married at the age of 25, and my wife was a part of the church that we were from, and we worked together really well. We never had any natural children, but we raised four kids. We raised
Is
three boys
right?
and
That's
a girl.
Good.
So,
wow, would you adopt them?
So, yes, but we adopted them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did. We knew their parents. Their parents, most of the boys, they were kind of, you know, at risk, and they were kind of, you know, hard heads. So their mothers trusted me to raise them. And the girl, her mom couldn't raise her because she was sickly. So we kind of got guardianship of all of them. And so we raised them. And the ministry we were in, unfortunately, when it was time for God to, I didn't never want to go anywhere because I was comfortable. And as God carried me through the ranks of a, a deacon, and then a minister, and then an elder, you know.
Right.
And then it was time to
go
forth.
Just going through those elevations.
Yes, ma'am. And when it was time to go forth, it was a similar Saul and David story. The leader did not want to release me, and it wasn't a good ending. And so we
isn't that terrible, though, wouldn't you?
Yes,
I guess because of the gift that you have, and you're so valuable to the body of Christ that they put handcuffs on you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And so that's how my ministry started out. We basically had Saul that was casting, you know, negative prayers, and we were the enemy, and it was really hurtful. For someone that, now this was the same person, remember, that kind of birthed everything in me. So for me, it was a different story than just some leader. You know, this was like a mother. And this person totally just turned on us and not to give the devil no glory, but it was really hurtful starting out in ministry, and you had to deal with that. You didn't have no help because the people that birthed you, they didn't want to help you. And so it was just my wife, myself, the three kids that we had, and a family of five, a husband and wife, and my wife's sister. That's how we started out the ministry. And
so, Apostle, how
we learned a lot.
It, you know, when you know that God is leading you in a direction and he's pulling you from people that he set you among, and then when it's time for you to leave them, you have to really be spiritually led in order to move into the direction where he wants you to. At a young age like that, what did that feel like?
It was, I didn't really start, I didn't become an elder until the age of 28. And so when I got 30, that's when it was time for me to go. I know that I never wanted to be a preacher, never wanted to be a pastor, never wanted to be accountable for people. And so I guess that's, you know, we're the very people that that God can use. And I remember when I was about 9 or 10, there was a prophet that came to preach at our church every year. And he would always call me out and tell me, you know, young man, God's going to use you greatly. You have an apostolic anointing on your life. He said it every single year. And I would just look at him like, you're right, you know, you're right. I don't want to do that stuff. And so I did not know who I was and didn't realize that I had any kind of gift to offer anybody. And so when this time came, I was resistant. I didn't want to do it. And it took three prophets to come to me to say, you know what, I want to obey God and not man. And so that's when we had to, you know, make the move.
Yes, that's right. Whew. This is real stuff right here. This is what you're talking about, especially. Now, this is the process now where you hear a lot of saints that are in churches now going through hurt in church that makes them want to leave the body. And we know the church is the body of Christ and not the building, but it's we've gotten accustomed to seeing the church, but we know that's where a lot of hurt and rejection is, right in the middle amongst the family. And how do you come out of the family when you come out of the world and come into the kingdom of God, and this is going on? So you're going through this process at a young age so you can minister to people that were just like you. That's miraculous to me, to know that God allows these things to happen to you at a young age, and then he brings you back into a people so you can just literally testify what you've been through to get to where you are now, to encourage people. And that's what we have to do. We have to encourage encourage people. So it is just phenomenal to hear you say that now. I'm just going to listen because you have so much to say. And I know we have Lady Anika on the line also. But just go ahead and continue on. Once you left and then the Lord began to move you in the direction and your apostolic gift, where did you begin your ministry? Were you in a building, or you were on the street,
ma'am,
in a house?
Ma'am.
Okay.
The good news is, and there's another part to this. And what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, I'm going to tell my story and lead up to where Anika comes in, because we're connected.
Yes.
And then, you know, when we left the church, there was something else going on. Actually, I had worked at a business for like 6 years. And I worked from a volunteer all the way up, and they received an African American executive director, and I didn't know why, but this gentleman it was just something about him that it just was something. I guess it was, you know, the Lord was kind of dealing with me about him. I'm saying, I don't know what's wrong. I thought, you know, we were friends before, and you know, I've been knowing him. Now I was actually at a youth facility that I worked my way all the way up, and I was the program director of that. And this was in a very bad part of town, and not trying to toot my own horn, but when I was placed in that building, I was told I had to turn it all the way around. So I had to hire new staff, and we went through a whole bunch of stuff, and in a year's time, we finally got things to where it was needed to be. And this gentleman came, and he didn't like God. I'm not gonna say he didn't like God, but he would do things like on certain nights for the teenagers, we would play gospel music, and he would come and say, yo, you know, y'all got to turn that mess down, you know. And we had several conversations where, you know, they would invite me out to go out to eat with them after hours, and I was like, well, if y'all going to the bar, that won't be happening, because you already know, you know, I'm saved, you know, and I'm not going to the bar. And so he didn't like the fact that he couldn't figure me out. And he actually, I don't know if you've heard of this before, but he actually, when I went through the whole experience, and, you know, a year later, and God had me, you know, dealing with some things, it was actually workplace bullying. This African-American man would tell me, you know, maybe you need to go to somewhere smaller. You're not good enough to be here, and, you know, this, that, and the other. And I did not understand what's wrong with him. And at the time, my wife said, you know, he's jealous of you. He sees something in you that he doesn't have because he wants authority and control. Long story short, and it's the same time I'm about to be a pastor, there was a setup for me. And some of this was my fault because God told me to leave this job. And because of my lack of confidence, and I built myself up, I came from a volunteer and worked my way all the way up to receive the program director. I didn't move. And people think this is, you know, strange when I say this, but God told me to leave, and I was disobedient, and I didn't. I said, well, I can stay here. And what happened was this man set me up, and I ended up actually getting arrested for some things that was missing because I was the program director. And I did not actually get a lawyer. I said, well, I don't need no lawyer. I've never been in trouble my whole life. I don't have no record. I don't have nothing. And do you not know I received a felony with the program director? And I was just becoming a pastor then.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am. And I did not understand why the Lord would allow that to happen to me. And I came from a decent family and never been in trouble. And I'm like, what? And I'm a pastor. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. And so actually, I didn't want to do no pastoring. I didn't want to be a pastor. I said, I'm not doing it. It's over. And I had a grandmother of mine. She was 76. And she told me, she said, I want you to keep your head up. She said, you know, you were disobedient. And the Lord told you to leave that job. But I want you to know something. God's going to work this in your favor. And I said, I don't know how he's going to work it in my favor. And so the day that I went to court, and you know, they tried to throw this whole they tried to throw this whole jail sentence in everything. And the judge said, no. This man's not going no jail. And I'm not even sure what's going on here because he's never been in trouble. And so he said, I want you to send him to some counseling. And they, I don't know the levels of, you know, I guess it was some probation. I had to do some probation. Yeah. And in 2 weeks, whatever probation was, I remember the man telling me, I'm dropping you off of this because I don't know what happened, but actually somebody set you up, and I don't know who it was, but you're not even.
So they dropped
They didn't drop the charges because they charged me. They charged me.
Right.
But the probation people said, I'm not going to keep you in probation. I'm gonna drop it down, which mean I didn't have to come in the house a certain time. I didn't have to report in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so the blessing was, I didn't understand. And my grandmother, when I called her, she said, you know, you're not going to jail, are you? I said, no, I'm not going to jail, but I don't understand how this happened. I don't understand how this happened. And so, by the way, this is why I wrote that book, Speak His Words, because the only thing that kept me sane during this time was scriptures.
Yeah.
And as tears rolled down my face, I remember looking and saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, I was just quoting the word of God because I didn't understand. I said, God, just show me your glory. Just show me your glory in this. If you can just show me your glory, because I didn't do this. You know I didn't. I don't know, understand why.
Okay.
I'm just becoming a pastor. What can I tell my people? What can I tell my son? You know, and so that's why I wrote this book. And so going through that, I remember my grandmother, she said this was December of 2004. And I called her. I said, yeah, well, they tried to throw all this stuff, and the judge said no. He wants me to just, you know, go to some counseling, and it's a charge. It's not a misdemeanor. And she said, I just want to know, you're going to jail. I said, no, I'm not going to jail, and you're free to come home. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want you to do me one favor. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, work it. I said, what do you mean, my mom? She said, work it. Wherever you go, when God drop it in your spirit. She was from North Carolina, so they had a different dialect. She said, I want you to work it. Do you hear me? As long as you live. Because God will get the glory out of this story. And she died 2 weeks after that. My grandmother passed 2 weeks after that. And so, but the day she died, there were 7 people that joined our church. The morning she died, there were 7 people that joined our ministry. And from that, I'm trying to go a little bit forward. From that, you know, we kept on going and there was another road bump in 2008 or 7. My wife and I separated. We parted, and so we got divorced. And
okay, now,
I
hold
thought
on
the
to
ministry
that stuff.
Then.
So we're gonna come back. Pause. Let me take a commercial break. I'm trying to hold out, but I know I need to do this, and then I'm gonna come back so you can go ahead and go back into your stir. Okay. Thank you.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, son, This is the best that I can do, but you can do better. And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promised you that together we can build a multi-billion-dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
Okay, thank you for breaking with me. This is the Pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown. We do have on our guest today, Dr. Apostle Ira Rose III and also Lady Anika Stewart. And he was giving us his awesome testimony of how God is literally showing him his hand and raising him up, and how his grandmother spoke literally a word into his life to instruct him, just like Moses did with Joshua, to go ahead and lead. And so we're going to go ahead and come back into talking to Apostle Ira Roach and the third and let him continue his testimony.
Thank you again, Ms. Joy.
Yes,
and I think I was at the part of the 2008 that I actually, my wife and I actually separated. We parted ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the ministry was just a single parent ministry.
Wow.
And so I
that should have been
actually
a challenge
just,
for you.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah.
It's kind of before that. I'm sorry. Before that, 2007. I think that's when the Lord brought an influx of younger people, what
mm-hmm.
we call millennials, and that's
yeah.
where Lady Anika came to the church.
Okay.
She was in part of that influx of those middle the millennials. She was part of the influx of them that came in.
Okay.
Because we
mm-hmm.
had such a we were already youth and young adult ministers
mm-hmm.
from our former ministry, so we kind of drew
right.
those younger people in the young
Ooh,
adults.
Good.
And so
mm-hmm.
she came during the time, and so she was there in 2006 or 7. And so maybe 2 years later, a year later, and she was directly working under my wife. She was her handmaid. She learned
wow.
under my wife. So so she taught
okay.
her a lot. She was like a that's her own testimony. But in 2008 we did part ways. And in 2009
mm-hmm.
there was something significant that happened. I finally. There were some people that were saying, you need to go ahead and accept your apostolic affirmation.
Mm.
And for 3 years, I said no.
Mm-hmm.
No. For 3 years, I said no. And finally,
mm-hmm.
in 2009, not only did God reveal some of what
wow.
my purpose was, I went to a prison. And
mm-hmm.
I was always into acting. In school, I was in acting, and I wrote several plays, and
right.
we did several
okay.
plays. And so I went
mm-hmm.
to a prison. It wasn't even in my town. A young lady from another ministry, she said, we have church at our prison. She said, it's good
mm-hmm.
for the men to see. And I said, I want to go on Father's Day. I said, I want to go on
oh,
Father's
wow.
Day. I said, I want to come. I said, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you to see if you can get me an outfit. She said, what do you mean? What kind of outfit? I said, I want you to get me an outfit like they wear. She said, are you serious?
What?
I said, yeah, I want
are you serious?
Outfit like they wear. And so she worked that out, and I put on a DOC outfit, and my son came with me, and the elder of the church, they came with me, and we sat in there, and I saw It was 50 men. They had to split them up, 25 and 25, and they came in looking because I was sitting there in the middle. I told them I wanted to sit in the middle of them. I want them to be around me in a circle. You know, I told my son and my the elder, I said, if they jump on it, I might can get about two of them, but y'all going to have to fight the rest. But so we sat there, and they were. I was telling them a story about Joseph, and my purpose was not just to, you know, I'm a firm believer that outreach is powerful, and so I know other people came and came and just did traditional church, but I've never been traditional church. I've never been there. So I wanted them to feel, and so I used the scripture when Joseph was in prison and how God still gave him favor while he was in prison and why he had a calling on his life. And so I used the analogy with Joseph, and at the end I told him, I said, you know, it doesn't matter what you go through, you know, God still has his hand, and he'll use what you've gone through to help people, because some people don't want to hear about Daniel and Joseph and Moses and Noah and David. They want an actual real life experience. And I said, and in front of you with me with this suit on right here, I said, I'm actually a felon. And they looked, and they looked at each other and looked around. I said, but I didn't choose to stay where I was. I said, I didn't understand everything, but now I do. I said, because today I can minister to you guys and let you understand that there's life after this. And so one guy was tatted all up, and he started crying. And, you know, he was like, you know, he appreciated me coming because it was Father's Day. He didn't – nobody came and visited him. He wanted to see his daughter. And it was just an awesome experience to see God bless those men. And the Lord just kind of blessed me that, you know, I said, now I see. Now I see. I said, you're going to work everything out where I can get a pardon, I'm sure. But now I can actually go into the prison and minister because they don't want to hear everybody. You know, they don't want to hear everybody. But I actually had an actual experience and couldn't get a job and couldn't get this and couldn't get that and couldn't go here. So I can tell them. And so that very same year, I accepted my apostolic appointment, and I became an apostle in 2009. And so from that, I'm going to let Anika, if you don't mind, I'm going to let Anika, if she would go ahead and at this point, because today, of course, we've been in ministry for 14 years.
You've been in 14
I've been in ministry
years? Okay.
14 years. 14 years. I'm excited about what God is going to do, where he's taking us. We still have some people that have that came up with us. You know, they were broken, and they're preaching, and they're entrepreneurs, and, you know, they're awesome parents, and we have a powerful ministry. And we've been through a lot as a church, but God still, you see what our name is, City of Refuge, and we come from where David was in the cave of Adullam, and those people came to him. He was a captain over them. So that's our main, you know, focus scripture, and why we named our church the City of Refuge. I did not know at the time that Bishop Noel Jones' church was City of Refuge until a lady said, I didn't know that, so I'm like, I must be doing something right, right?
Yeah, you're gonna have to come to L.A.
Yes,
have you
ma'am.
Been on the West Coast before?
I have never been on the West Coast ever.
You know, this is because you're gonna have to find a way to get you out here, you and Lady Anika. But I know you want to bring her on, but let me go ahead and I'm gonna play a couple more commercials because I want her to have a smooth transition coming in.
Yes, ma'am.
And but this is what pays for the show. And this is what you know, need to be done. So let me do this first, and then we're going to have Lady Anika come on because I know she has something powerful to say to us.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things first? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, intercession, a coming together, a conversation, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority. Why? For this good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence of God, our Savior.
Hi, this is the pastor for Punch TV Studio, and we have our special guest, Apostle Dr. Ira Rose III, and now we're coming back to the second half of the interview, and guess who's coming up, and that's Lady Anika Stewart. How are you doing today, woman of God?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and just allow you just tell your story. I know Apostle was bringing me up to this point, but I am so excited to have both of you on here today. So I'm just going to just sit back. It's so much that I'm looking at that I'm just encouraged just to hear. If you've been in this ministry this long, you came in with a pastor and wife, and then they separated, divorced, and you were the adjective of the pastor's wife. What was that feeling? Did you feel alone, like what you were there for was abandoned, and then God put you in another place? Tell us about your story. I don't know why I cannot hear you.
Can't hear me?
Yes, now
you hear me
better.
Now?
Yes,
okay.
I can.
Okay, thank you. So I came into the ministry in 2007 under Apostle Roach and his wife at that time, and I was her handmaiden. I worked underneath her, and she wasn't just my pastor. She was more like my mother due to the fact of my background and where I come from. I'm the oldest of six siblings, and I was raised in a single parent home. So I was the oldest, and my childhood in a sense was taken from me because I fulfilled the duties to help my mother. I can remember at the age of 8 years old, I'm changing diapers. I am literally cooking. And it doesn't take away from my mom. It's just she was a single mother working a full-time job, and she had six children. And I was helping her. And so I didn't grow up in a two-parent household. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was drugs and violence. I was surrounded by that. I knew about that at an early age. So my upbringing was different from my pastor's. And so when I came to the church, I came to the church a broken woman.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the church a woman who was looking for love, who was looking to be validated, who was just searching for things that she did not have. And, you know, so during that time of me searching, I went through things in my life such as domestic violence. I went through the teenage pregnancy. I had my first child at the age of 14, and then two years later, I had my son at 17, and then a year later, at the age of 18, I had another son. And so I had three children by the time I was 20 years old, and I had three children. I was living on my own since I was 16, and so I just grew up very fast without having that experience to enjoy childhood. So I didn't experience that. So I grew up very fast, and I got into a lifestyle of drugs and domestic violence. I was abusing drugs from marijuana to alcohol, to PCP to pills, and you know, it got so out of hand to where I was in this relationship with this young man at the time, and he was, of course, selling drugs out of my home. And, you know, it got to a place to where the police raided my home. And they raided my home, of course, and they found drugs. And they arrested me in front of my three-year-old son at that time. So he watched me get arrested, and they took him from me. And, you know, I'm in the police station, and I grew up in church. My mom was saved, and, you know, so I grew up in church. I knew of God, but I didn't have my own relationship with God. But I knew who to call on in times of trouble. And so, you know, in that jail cell that night, I was just praying and I was saying, God, you know, to get me out of this, to get me out of this situation. And, you know, God allowed me to make bail. I was able to come home on unsecured bond. And, you know, so I was in a space to where I was released from jail. I didn't have to get locked up. I didn't have to go into the penitentiary or anything. So he intervened. And, of course, it still didn't dawn on me that, you know, God made a way out of no way. I shouldn't be free. I should be locked up. I should be detained. Right. I shouldn't be with my children because I was still active in my addiction. So the logic thinking that I have now, I didn't have 11 years ago. And so, you know, but I knew that something needed to change in my life because here I am. I am about to be homeless. And, you know, with my three children. So my brother, he invited me to Apostle Roach's Church. And I decided to go. And I went to the service just, you know, expecting to know, you know, I'm going to hear the word of God. And, you know, and that's just going to be that. And I'm going to go on home and I'm going to continue to do what I do. But the minute that I went into this service was the day that my life changed forever. The minute that I walked in that door and God used Apostle Roach to speak a word into my life, I was never the same. And, you know, so I returned from that service. Yeah, I was still active in my addiction. But when I left there, I said, God, I want more of you. I want more of that word because I was able to feel his presence. And so, you know, as I'm talking, you know, anyone who's listening, you know, they may feel as though they're in a dark space and God's not listening to them. And they've gone so far astray that he's not listening to them and he's not still in the midst, but he's in the midst. He's always in the midst. And so, you know, for me, I left that service and, like I said, I was still in my addiction, but I knew that I wanted change and I wanted to feel his presence again. And so I would continue to go to service after service and hear the word. And, you know, I was starting to make changes in my life, but I was still living with my drug dealer boyfriend at that time.
Wow.
And God was sending a word. And he was saying to me, you know, that I need to leave him. I need to leave him. And see, for me, leaving him meant that I would have to start over. I would no longer be able to rely on him and his money and his financial gain that he gave me and my children because, see, he allowed – the enemy will – he knows your weaknesses. And so my weakness was money. I felt very secure as long as I had a man who was able to provide for me and my children. And the enemy knew that.
Oh my
and
God.
So, you know, here I got this man. He's taking care of me. He brought me a townhome. I was living in a nice townhome. And he was just taking care of me. My bills were taken care of and things of that sort. So I did not want to leave him simply because I didn't want to start back over. I knew what that looked like. And I didn't want to go back to my mom's house with three children. So long story short, you know, God intervened and God kept telling me that, you know, Anika, you need to leave him. I want more of you. I've called you. I've chosen you. And I'm saying yes to God, but I'm going through a tug of war. I'm going through a battle within my mind.
Exactly. I understand.
And so, And so one night after a service, we were in service pretty much all day that day. And I was giving God praise. I was giving him my best and my all. And I went home that night, and mind you, I'm living with my boyfriend at that time who was a drug dealer, and there was two gentlemen who kicked down the door that night as I'm sleeping in my bed, and my two boys were in their room. The gentlemen came in my room. They kicked down my door. They came in my room with mask on and shotguns, and woke us up out of our sleep, and they told me to get face down on the ground. And as I'm face down on the ground, I'm calling on Jesus. And the guys, they duct taped my hands and they duct taped my feet. They duct taped my mouth. And the guy told me that night, he said, you're going to die tonight. I'm going to kill you. And I didn't know what to do. I was so struck by fear. All the thing I could do in my mind was say, Lord, help me. Lord, get me out of this. And if you get me out of this, I will leave this man and I will not return back to him. And so the gentlemen, they're going through the room and they're going through and they're looking for the drugs. And, you know, there really wasn't even no drugs in the house that night. And so they're looking. And so they went downstairs and they didn't come back upstairs. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, my God, did they leave? Are they coming back up to finish me off? So long story short, I ended up getting out of the duct tape, and the men had left. And the only thing that they had taken was the PlayStation game. At that time, that was the big thing, was the Xbox PlayStation game. And that's the only thing that they took. And so God spared my life. God spared my life.
In exchange for your life, they took a PlayStation.
Yes, and to God be the glory. And ever since that day, I gave my life fully to God. And I had to start over. And when I tell you I was uneducated, I had no degree. I had no high school diploma. From there, I started over. I went back to my mother's house. And I was living with her, three children, and I was still going to church, and I was no longer indulging in addict behavior. I was clean. Yes. I was, you know, God delivered me from drugs, and I began to go back to school, which the school that I went to was my apostle school. And I went to school, and I graduated with my high school diploma at the top of my class, and then I went from there to get my associate's degree in drug and alcohol counseling. And from there, I received my bachelor's in behavior science. And God just kept progressing me. And as I began to, you know, recognize what I possess, because let me back up a little bit. During that transition, I met my husband. But when I met my husband, I met him in a time where I was still broken. I still needed validation from a man. I still needed that attention and that lifestyle that I was so accustomed to, that he didn't get the changed Anika that everybody sees today. He got Anika who was desolate. He got Anika who was broken. He got Anika who didn't know her purpose, who didn't know how to love, didn't know how to receive love. And so I wounded him. I wounded him with my words. I wounded him by putting him down. I wounded him by pushing him away. And, you know, so I was a broken little girl. The woman that he married was a 21-year-old who was still caught up in her mind that she's not good enough. I didn't know myself worth. I didn't know what I possessed. I didn't know my gifts or my talents. I was still learning who I was. So I married this man, and he tried to love me, but I couldn't receive it, and I could not give it. And so in the midst of that, we got married in 2009. And a year later, 2010, about a week after our first year anniversary, my husband had enough, and he asked me for a divorce.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, I sat in that. And the first thing I did was did the whole pity party, the self-victimization, until, you know, later on, God began to deal with me and say, either you're going to choose to live or you're going to stay right here. And I had to make a decision. And I chose to live. And from me choosing to live, I birthed my ministry that I have today. And, you know, the ministry that I have today is called Embracing Your Inner Woman, and it empowers women to exceed beyond internal oppression and emerge into internal happiness. That internal oppression is that woman that says, I can't make it on my own. That internal oppression is that woman who says, I'm not worthy of it. I can't do this by myself. That seeks validation, that is lonely, you know, that is depressed and angry. And, you know, so I'm talking to that woman, and I'm letting her know that you can be happy with who you are and where you are, because where you are does not dictate what's to come in your life, because I'm a living testament of that. That you got to first love yourself and be able to go through that process of growth and maturity in order to get what God has for you, so that way you can fully appreciate it and love on it and nurture it and sustain it. So that's my ministry, and this is my business, and I'm very dedicated to it.
So as I'm reading your bio, I say, yes, she is bold. Yes, she is direct. Yes, she is confident, but it has to do what God has done to transfer your life. This is so wonderful. I don't know, you know, it's like the God has a plan. You know, the West Coast meeting the East Coast and bringing you two on today has been such a blessing for me. I had no idea that I was going to hear this coming out of your mouth. You know, when we look at a person's picture, which I post, none of that is revealed. None of that. And then the order for you to be able to touch women every day, because we know we have women that are going through, that are broken, been a divorce, been in things just like you, to hear that you was duct taped and mouth, it's like hearing, seeing a movie. You see mm-hmm. stuff like that in a movie. I didn't grow up, well, my parents, well, I'm not going to tell my testimony because yours is just phenomenal. Now, you are really doing something for me because you're showing me what I need to do with my testimony. Just a few moments of what you're saying and how you grew up and where God has placed you in this, in the arms of Apostle, because I've been there also, where God has placed you in strategic places to bring you up, and that's where his love is revealed.
Yeah.
But listen, I know you two have a book or something that you need to leave with our audience, because we're going to have maybe about 9 minutes left. And you need to tell us how to get in touch with you, your phone number, your website. I know both of you do seminars, you're motivational speakers. And then give us that information and then your book that you have so we'll know what to do for the next person. Because these interviews that I do, they are recorded. So you can send it to somebody on your Facebook, social media. If somebody needs to hear this testimony, just click and send it to them. So how do we get in touch with you two?
Go ahead, Nico.
You can get in touch with me through my website, LadyAnikaStewart.com, and you can also connect with me on social media through Facebook, Embracing Your Inner Woman, and on Instagram, Embracing Your Inner Woman. I have a book out that I published. My first memoir is called Diaries of an Elect Lady, and it can be purchased on Amazon.com or, again, my website, LadyAnikaStewart.com.
And Miss Joy, are you?
Yes.
Now wait for it. I know you asked me how Anika was related to me, and I told you she was my daughter. The young man that she married was my son.
Was that the marriage that didn't last?
That was my son.
Mm-hmm.
That's my son that married her.
My God.
So you can imagine, you know. And she that's why she's my daughter, because I don't believe in daughter-in-law, you know. But I don't, my Facebook, my website is getting restructured, but people can reach me on Facebook, as you know, Ira Roach III, or Instagram with Dr. _ Ira Roach. They can reach me those two places, and my book is called Speak His Words, so that's how they can reach me as well.
Yes. Now, you made a valid point. You said when you were going through, oh, my God, you guys are going to have me crying on this line. You said when you were going through, this is when the word began to just come forth. And I know this is where the body of Christ is not stepping forth, because we do not use the word like we're supposed to. So then your transition when God was moving you in the midst of your desert, or your transition, like Joseph from the dungeon to the prison, to the palace, that's what sustained you. That's what brought you through.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. The only thing that brought me through was God's word. You know, as I said, I used to be suicidal, and at this time, at first, I thought I was nothing. I thought I had failed everybody. I thought I had embarrassed my church and my father, and it was just something. And I lifted my head up towards heaven, because I remember, you know, I have to lift my eyes towards the hills. And so I began to quote the word. I was still crying, but I quoted the word, and I didn't give up. And that's my testimony. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. And I just believe that, you know, now with joining the Les Brown, you know, I've always felt like God had something bigger for me.
Yes,
and
exactly. I understand.
I like to be an example to my children. And so I believe this is the season. I'm claiming it. This is the season. This
yes.
is the first radio interview I've ever had. So I appreciate you doing something for me. You said we're doing something
oh,
for
yeah.
you. This is something new for me. Doing this whole interview.
yeah.
So I appreciate you.
Yeah,
so
right.
it's my.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I hope you, too, will visit our website. It is punchtvstudio.com. Our CEO is Joseph Collins. He's a pastor also. But he has a testimony also being a PK kid. You know, the warfare that we have in the walls of the church of not being accepted with what you have. I heard you said you are an actor. Well, that's what we are doing. We're promoting just people from everywhere. You know, we've been advertising about the company being having shares in the company. I'm on this radio talk show because I was designated by our CEO to talk to pastors, to bring pastors on the line, interview them, but also to show them how they can be investors in Punch TV Studio, because I believe that God is preparing us for the next trimester of the church to be debt-free.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the way we have. So I am really going beyond, and I'm really favored because I have opportunity to talk to pastors like yourself, and I just got to come to Delaware. I have never been that far, but you two
right.
have really taken this height of this interview to another level. I know I'm going to be doing another interview with you both at the end of this month or the beginning of the year, because you got to come back on so you can have more time to really minister and share what you have. So we have about 2 more minutes, and I want you to leave this audience with something that they can take with them for 2018.
Go ahead, Nika. You go first. Lady, I'm sorry.
My words of inspiration would be that no longer live in shame of who you are and where you are in life. I want you to embrace your flaws, embrace your insecurities, embrace the things that you're not proud of, because once you embrace them, that means you take ownership of them. So I want you to begin to take ownership of your life, claim the victory, believe that you have the victory, and walk in boldness and clarity of who you are, where you are, and what's to come of your life.
And I would say something, the body and those that are listening and those people that think they don't have anything worth and that people have told them they're nothing, the Lord gave us something inside of us. We have authority. And this year, coming in 2018, I want you to dominate and multiply. Dominate and multiply. God gave that to us. There's nothing we have to ask for, nothing we have to pay for. He gave us the power to also get wealth, and we need to exercise that power in Jesus' name.
Thank you. This is the Pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown. You just heard Dr. Apostle and Lady Anika Stewart, and you know what you can do. Just come back on Facebook, click on the button, and you can hear this interview again and again and again, because this will definitely set you free. Until next time, we'll be on Punch TV Studio again Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 o'clock Pacific time. Just suggest your time, and we have some more great things coming your way. On behalf of our CEO, Joseph Collins, and the staff at Punch TV Studio, you have a blessed day, and you walk in victory. Thank you. Thank you, you two. I appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank you. You're welcome.